The show that takes you home. The Homestretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City. 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Homestretch, ESPN Kansas City, live on this beautiful Friday afternoon. Dylan Michaels behind the glass. Last show before Dylan and I golf together. Sunday, baby. Sunday morning. Early. See, I'm more of a crack of noon type of guy. Crack of noon gets you time to wake up, read a chapter of your book, drink some coffee, go to the course, hit a few balls. The 8:30 tee time when you're playing in Independence and you live in downtown Overland Park means I'm waking up early. I'm getting my coffee to go. The beers will be cracked way earlier than normal, Dylan. You better believe that. Best believe that. Also means no warm-up. Breakfast ball. It's allowed. It's allowed. We're allowing a breakfast ball in hole one.
Thank God, because I'm going to need it on every hole. I'm going to need breakfast, brunch, lunch, mid-afternoon snack, and dinner ball.
You, me. That's my favorite when you're playing at like 11 or noon. It's the brunch ball. It's the brunch ball, baby. Supper ball if you're playing at 5. It's a supper ball.
Might be a rain delay or something.
Rain delay ball. Come on. You never know. Snack ball. At hole 10 after the turn, snack ball. Forgot the hot dog? Psh, throw a ball down. Counts. You, me, Tucker, and Foot.
It'll be 8-10 versus KCSN.
Wow, I like that. I was about to say, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this happen? What game are we going to play? 8-10 versus KCSN.
I might have to live stream this. I mean,
we might need to.
Sponsorship?
I don't think we're getting many golf sponsors,
though. I don't think so.
We might get a tree company. Like, it'd be great. How many trees we hit? Like, I'm just snapping one of the trees.
Roofing?
A roofing company
would
be great.
Window replacement?
Window replacement. I don't think there's any trees. I tried to pick a course. There's no houses. There are a lot of trees. It'd be great if we get a tree company to sponsor and say, hey, we'll cut that tree down for you. Be great. A beer sponsor.
Maybe like the Arborist Foundation or something, like a local one too, you know?
Classy. You're classy. I just said tree guy. You went, the Arborist? You're fancy, man. I'm all in. Dylan, we're going to have some fun. I will say that ramen noodle shirt, can't rock it. It's got to be collared. Got to be a collared shirt.
Why? Oh, for the...
For golf!
Oh,
not
oh,
for here.
Oh,
I don't
like,
give a hoot. You could wear
I'm a big fan.
Robe if you wanted to. We have the least dress code possible. If you work in sports talk radio,
you can wear a ramen noodle shirt.
You literally could come in wearing swim trunks. I wonder if I came in here shirtless, if anyone would actually make me put a shirt on. If they're just be like, hey, what are you? They wouldn't even be surprised.
They probably assume it's a bit. That you could probably just use that excuse for most anything.
Seriously, 8-10. When I wear a suit, people are like, "What are you doing? Why are you wearing a suit?" If I wear a colored shirt, they're like, "What are you doing? Why are you so dressed up?" If I wore a swimsuit and a Hawaiian shirt, that's the average dress code. I'm overdressed because Hawaiian shirts typically have a collar on it. Kind of funny. Going from working for the 76ers where it was a suit and tie every day to radio where it's that's the only suit and tie is the song by Justin Timberlake, and that's an intro song. That's it. That's all we have. That's the difference. We don't have the fancy stuff here.
I would love to I would love to see if, like, Chad played a prank on all of us and, like, sent out an email about dress code being enforced from now on just for a week and just see everyone have to
roll in suits. Great April Fool's joke.
It would be.
Tell Chad in I mean, we have about, I don't know, 10 months. You know, we probably should have thought about this maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah, probably.
Instead of...
Best ideas happen after the fact, though.
True. All right, let's talk about the NBA Finals last night. That was a fun, then unfun, then fun again at the start of the fourth quarter, then unfun, and then a slight comeback, and it fizzled out. Denver was the big brother holding the Miami Heat just at arm's length. You know, your little brother, your little cousin, when they're a kid, they're trying to get to you. You put your hand on their dome, and you just keep them away. They're trying to grab at you. They can't get you. Arms are too short. That was the Miami Heat last night. They got bullied. The Miami Heat had been bullying teams all playoff long. They got punked by the Nuggets. Punked by the Nuggets. And it started from the tip-off. They went to Aaron Gordon time and time again. Aaron Gordon's not much of a scorer. He can at times, but that's not his game anymore.
He's not your feature scorer.
He was with the Magic when they were literally horrendous. But it's funny. His game's almost evolved, then de-evolved, if that makes sense, where he went from being a solid scorer, a slasher. He's still not a great three-point shooter, but he doesn't do that very much anymore. Now it's all offensive rebounds and defense. He went from being not very great defensively in Orlando to now I think he's a standout defensive player here in Denver. But what he brings to the table in this game was being so much more physical than Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, who we'll talk about in a second, Caleb Martin, hell, Jimmy Butler. The only guy that really was standing out physicality-wise for the Heat last night was Bam Adebayo. That guy deserves all the credit for how he played. And I would say Hayward Highsmith. But he came off the bench because Caleb Martin was literally just so bad. But Aaron Gordon, from the get-go, was punking the Heat. Michael Porter Jr. started off strong, lost me some money. It's okay. I won more money back a different way. But Michael Porter Jr. played 43 minutes, and early on, he was a major factor. I will say this about him. Even though his shot wasn't falling, 2 of 11 from 3, his rebounding and defense was extraordinary. He was not a defensive guy coming out of Mizzou. He was not a defensive guy during the regular season. But come playoff time, he's been up to the challenge. He's not the most laterally quick player, especially for a wing. But he makes up for it with his length and his ability to chase down block guys. I mean, he had 2 blocks, but he affected so many shots, even if he was being blown by. 13 rebounds for Michael Porter Jr. Jamal Murray, playoff time is a different animal. I don't understand it. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this, but Jamal Murray in the playoffs is all time. He's an MVP candidate. If he played every game in the regular season like the playoffs, he would be a legitimate MVP candidate. Tough buckets. Him and Nikola Jokic have the best 1-2 in the entire NBA. No one can handle their two-man game. The Miami Heat tried to get him out of it with the zone defense, and it worked for a little bit. But Nikola Jokic is so good as a passer, they figured it out. I mean, Nikola Jokic is the... Would you say he's the best passing big of all time? Wes Unseld for the Washington Bullets, right? He was the best outlet passer of all time.
I don't even know how you pulled that name. Like, I didn't even know that guy existed. So,
Wes Unseld? The Hall of Famer? Come on!
Yeah, tough.
It's a tough look for Dylan back there. I thought you were an NBA superstar back there.
Whoa, hold on. No. That's you. You've been in the front office. But a mere fan.
Wes Unseld was up there. Hakeem Olajuwon was up there.
Would you say Tim Duncan, maybe?
I wouldn't go Tim.
Really,
I,
no.
I, the most underrated big man passer was Shaq. I will die on that hill.
I feel like we're trying to find someone.
But it's Nikola Jokic. Right. I mean, if you're going to say Magic Johnson when he played center, okay. But let's be real now. Bill Walton also probably can throw his name into the ring. But Nikola Jokic, and I don't want to say because we're prisoner of the moment, but I legitimately think he's probably the best big man passer of all time.
Yeah.
14 assists in this game. And the reason why is he...
You wouldn't put Rudy Gobert in that?
I would not put Rudy Gobert in that equation. Or Vita Sabonis, maybe, back when he was playing overseas. But Nikola Jokic, 14 assists, and it shows the impact he had on the game without scoring. He had more assists than field goals attempted. He still had 27 points, by the way.
Didn't he have 10 assists in the first half?
He did.
Yeah.
But he took over. He's always one step ahead. His basketball IQ is through the roof. I could not get over how effective he was in this game. In my opinion, it was a near-perfect game from Nikola Jokic. 27 points, 12 field goals, 10 rebounds, 14 assists. Didn't force anything. Took over in the fourth quarter when he had to. When the team needed him to score, what did he do? He scored. When they needed him to be the facilitator, he did. When they needed a big rebound, he got it.
Is that good? I don't know.
He is a
legitimate
superstar.
I compared him to, and this has been getting a lot of pop recently from more prominent and heard voices, but I first compared him to Tim Duncan because I feel like not...
I think he's more talented,
I think,
personally.
And see, there's where people are kind of, not you, but just like misunderstanding the quote as like apples to apples. I'm comparing in the sense that nobody sees him as like a jaw-dropping superstar of a freak show athlete or something that
sure
you look at and say, well, I can't do that.
Like yeah.
And also it's almost frustrating in that sense where you're like, how are these guys not stopping him? But they
sure
just keep getting it done over and over. And it's all fundamental.
The
it's
big
all the little things.
Yeah.
It's all passing and rebounding. Before
his screens,
scoring.
Too. I mean, his yeah screens are outstanding.
Like, that's where I compare him to Duncan in the sense of he can be very special and almost be undervalued.
Yeah.
Because of how, and I don't want to say boring, but.
Sure.
Yeah.
And Tim Duncan might be the best power forward of all time.
Right.
Again, Jokic is a center. Power forward traditionally power forward hasn't had the superstars as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've had Dirk Nowitzki, and he even transitioned to center at one point. I mean, Tim Duncan sort of did, but he always had a big with him for the most part. The Admiral, obviously the big name,
yeah.
David Robertson beside him. But what Nikola Jokic does is so special. That's a very good point. It's the little things he does. And that's why I said it was a near perfect game. You look at it, and there have been better stat lines in playoff games, but if you watch that game and how he took over at every single instance, every part of that game was, and by the way, two turnovers only. For a guy who had the ball in his head, I would love to know his usage rate.
What was his plus? Does it have his plus minus there? I mean,
14.
It's probably absurd.
It's 14. Frankly, it was only the third highest. I mean, you had Michael Porter Jr. who had plus 20. Plus minus is a good number. It's not always the jumping off. It's not the end-all, be-all.
Right, it's like OPS, where it's like a great number to look at, but not exactly something you should base your entire...
Yeah, because you have to realize who was with him, who was on the floor. It's not the best stat. I've always thought plus and minus is a little wonky. Michael Porter Jr. was not more impactful in that game than Nikola Jokic.
No, and that's a good example right there.
Jimmy Butler was not less valuable last night than Max Struess. I always blow his last name, just how he was blowing all those shots last night. Dude was 0 of 9 from 3.
It's at altitude.
I will say this. Yes. I will say this about the Miami Heat. If you're a Heat fan and you want a nugget of optimism, they got almost any open look they wanted. I mean, as good as Denver was offensively as far as controlling the game and controlling the score, anytime they wanted a good look, the Heat, for the most part, they got it. They couldn't hit. Max Strus, 0 of 9 from 3. Caleb Martin, 1 of 7 from the field. Duncan Robinson, 1 of 5 from 3, including a absolute brick on a wide open 3. Kyle Lowry was really... Kyle Lowry had a huge impact in that game. I'll touch on him in a second, but he was 3 of 6. Gabe Vincent was 5 of 10, which was great. But if you want some reason for optimism, do you think Duncan Robinson and Max Strus are going to combine a, what's that, 1 of 14 in another game? No. And I'm a very, I think it was Stan Van Gundy. If you listen to Stan Van Gundy yesterday, Gundy during the game yesterday, he kept talking about how, you know what? Give the Heat some credit. They're getting looks. They just can't hit anything. Their offense was run well. Eric Spoelstra, good game plan. But Jimmy Butler, Max Strus, Duncan Robinson, and Caleb Martin were just buns. Gabe Vincent was good, really good. And Bam Adebayo was a stud. But you got to have more. The Nuggets, this is the finals. You can't have two good guys with two good games. You have to be well-rounded, just how the Denver Nuggets were well-rounded in this game. Speaking of Kyle Lowry, I want to go back to him for a second. He was a spark plug off the bench. The start of the fourth quarter, he had a quick, was it 8 points? 11 points? Did he have all 11 in the fourth quarter? I think it was all in the fourth quarter. It was quick, two quick threes, then a third three, and then a nice little floater. 5 rebounds, 5 assists, was a pest on defense. Frankly, I liked what he and Highsmith brought to the floor late in that game. Now, Spoelstra was not, he was man enough to admit that Martin and Strus were not having it, so who did he go to? Eventually Kyle Lowry and Highsmith, because Strus was getting dominated on defense as well. Posted up by everyone. Gabe Vincent to an extent as well, but Gabe Vincent's offense was, you had to have him on the floor. What do you think Spoelstra goes to in game two? Now, I think Martin and Strus are going to start, but I think they have short leashes. I think you might see more of Hayward Highsmith. I think you might see more Kyle Lowry. Those guys played so well and so hard. I don't know your thoughts, Dylan, but I think Highsmith has to see more playing time.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a rotational change as much as a, like, what you are going to try and do. Because I think it was Mark Jackson kept saying to make Joker a scorer instead of a facilitator by maybe not introducing as many double teams to him as possible.
Yeah.
Because he seems to thrive off of passing and getting his guys involved, which the whole team eventually does because everyone's in rhythm and everyone's, you know, in a good shooter's zone, I guess. From
sure.
Getting good looks. And I don't know. I think that the changes will be more scheme versus, like, rotation.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I could see that being the case as well. But they just have to go to the hot hand. And Tyler Hero is going to be a big storyline, right? If Tyler Hero's back, testing that. Is it the hand? Is that what it is, the hand?
Yeah, it's a hand.
That'll be a obvious boost offensively for Miami. But can we talk quickly about Cody Zeller? That had to be the worst 8 minutes of basketball I've seen.
What was his plus minus?
It was only -5.
Okay, there you go. There's another shining example of...
That was the worst 8 minutes I've seen from a NBA player in a while. And it's funny because we were talking about it before the show. He looked fine against the Celtics. He actually looked solid at times. I'm like, wow, Cody Zeller. Like, those are some good minutes he's putting out there. He got his ass kicked. It looked like Shaq. You remember the video? Who was the dude that got yammed on and then pushed? It wasn't Sean Bradley. You always think it was Sean Bradley.
I'm pretty sure the last name was Daughtry or something close to that.
Yeah. It wasn't Chris Daughtry, the singer, surprisingly, but Chris Daughtry.
It's hilarious that you said that because, like, I almost just blurted that out.
Because Chris Daughtry honestly probably looked about the exact same in that situation. But that's what Jokic was doing.
Chris Dudley. So it's Chris and a D, but not Chris Dudley.
And it wasn't Jared Dudley.
No.
It wasn't Jared Dudley.
No, not Jared Dudley.
It wasn't Chris Mullins. How long ago was a game?
Chris Everett either. Or Jim Everett.
Bet you won't say it again.
I bet you I will.
I've always wondered.
I bet you I will was just.
Do you think that Jim Everett loves that?
Oh, no. Now.
I think he does now because the way that everything played out, once a year, he gets to show a video of him kicking Jim Rome's ass.
And then the last, why did he call you Chris? It's like, well. And, like, I don't know. It's just, I think both of them reacted poorly, but.
That was so early
so
in
awesome.
Jim Rome's career, too.
Yeah.
Such a long time ago. Yeah, I don't think he does that anymore.
No.
Don't think he learned his lesson.
His desk is nailed to the floor.
You might say he, rack him.
Yeah, all furniture is drilled into the floor. Right
that
now.
Was phenomenal. Arugula. That was great, though. But Cody Zeller had the worst 8 minutes I've ever seen. Jokic, seriously, that spin move. And I know people on Twitter are saying, like, Heat fans are saying, that's a push-off. Dog, that's no push-off. Jokic didn't extend that arm. It's there.
Zeller was, like,
he
dodging
was moving.
A bullet
yeah.
before that was traveling between him and Jokic before that play
he got,
occurred.
He got,
I was watching it, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, are you trying?
He was
like
backpedaling. He was backpedaling
yeah.
so hard.
It looked like the guy had five fouls, and he was trying to not get a blocking, like not get, put it in the ref's hands, essentially, whether it was a blocking
yes.
charge.
It looked like dude was rocking Heelys and getting pushed backwards. Remember Heelys? Remember those bad boys? I remember finally getting a pair of Heelys. Could never figure out how to actually use them. So I just took the wheels out.
Yeah, just. Or you borrow someone's to try it.
For those of you that are not from the ages of, I don't know, 24 to 34.
Oh, they'll come back around.
Heelys were shoes that had a wheel in them, and you could roll around class.
I'm telling you, they will come back. Everything is cyclical.
Oh, dude.
So it will be back, and that'll be awesome.
Short shorts are back, and I'm rocking some nice 6 inchers today.
It'll somehow be when we have kids so that we have to deal with all the.
They're dangerous.
Yeah.
No
Remember
wonder
the kids
my
are just
parents
doing down a hill like a bike or like
yes.
a skateboard.
And I then you're skateboarded that you're more dangerous. I will say this. There's nothing more dangerous than those little, you stand on them and they're electric. And there's two wheels, but there's no handlebar. And if you lean forward, you go forward. They're like, what are those things called?
Hoverboards, right?
A hoverboard type thing.
That we're talking the things that you just
stand on.
Yeah,
you're facing
forward
and you lean forward.
Yeah, those are hoverboards.
Dog. No, I was on a one wheel.
Oh no, those are psycho.
Yeah, a one wheeler.
Those are insane.
There's a wheel in the middle, right?
Yeah, it's like the size of a dirt bike wheel almost. I mean, it's massive. Some of them are.
These were a little smaller. But you can go up to 20 miles an hour. Last summer, I think. Last summer, 2 summers ago, maybe it was last summer. One of my friends got one for his kids, and they're only like able to go like 5 miles an hour, and like you just kind of go, and I'm like, oh, let me try this out. I used to skateboard, kids. Dude, I got up to 20 because I couldn't stop, and I'm like, how do I? I'm yelling. I'm like, how do I stop this thing? To like lean back. Wrong answer. I lean back, thing just immediately stops. I'm on the street, asphalt. Speaking of ass, I had a bruise for like 3 weeks. Last time I do that. Can we stop with this? Maybe I'm getting old because I'm sitting here saying, can we be safer? Even though I would still totally drive an ATV or a dirt bike. But those bird scooters, I've had 3 people I know bust their faces open on those things. I have friends losing chiclets. Multiple friends have lost chiclets because they've fallen off of a bird scooter.
Saved. I mean, I've never fallen, so.
I haven't either,
wood.
But.
Yeah, it's not always your fault why you fall.
But Yeah, I will
say. You get absolutely T-boned by someone not paying attention.
The road? Okay, the road?
The road.
I've had a friend who had a few too many adult beverages, and you might say, hey, that's on them. Hey, I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying, if you have a couple of those bad, you've had a couple adult beverages. Those things are,
they're different than a car.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So don't drink and
don't drink and bird. Scooter.
Yeah.
Don't drink and Healy.
There's actually a PSA for it.
Is there really?
No. We just did one though.
Oh man. You see that in the ceiling?
What's that?
Gullible's written there. Because apparently I'm gullible as hell. Well, I don't know. In today's day and age, maybe there is a PSA for birds.
There should be.
Hey, kids. If you want to be cool and get someplace safe, don't take a bird. Walk. I don't know. That was a horrible PSA voice, by the way. I don't... Do a PSA
voice.
That's
like, oh, boy.
You can you tell Chiefs offseason is slow?
Yeah, right. We're cutting ads live. Yeah, just don't drink and get on a scooter because it's just the same as a moped or dirt bike or any other electrically powered vehicle that can go 25 to 30 miles an hour on city streets.
I had a moped when I was in high school. It was about 16, 15, 14 to 16-ish, like freshman year to sophomore year-ish. It was my uncle's. I found it in the garage of my grandparents in Indiana. This thing was a 1970s moped. We bring it all the way back to Kansas City. Doesn't really run. You can start it, okay? This bad boy will crank up. It would die after 7 seconds. So what you would do is, you would gas it up and go as fast as you can in 7 seconds and then cruise. It would die. You would roll as far as you can go. Crank that bad boy up again. Go another 7 seconds. It was very fun until the 7 seconds would stop. And then what would happen is it literally died when I had to carry it up a massive hill. So, kids, here's another PSA for you kids. You get a moped that doesn't really work. Don't take it a mile away from your house that's very hilly, because you have to walk back a 1970s moped, and those things, they're not made out of plastic, really. They were metal. They were hot. You'd burn your shin hair off. They were heavy.
Yep.
This is basically a life lesson with Lebo, but with Sterling.
Yeah.
We're teaching you guys what not to do because we've been there. At least I've been there.
Yeah, I can't say I've had a moped, but I do want to own something that I have to start like a lawnmower.
Mm.
I don't. Could be a go kart like in Trailer Park Boys. The bubbles.
Oh, dude, go karts are awesome.
A moped. It could be a dirt bike, a little pocket rocket, anything that I can start like a lawnmower. And just kind of fly around to the gas station 5 minutes away.
Oh,
or
dude,
like
I would
that.
Love that. My
awesome.
My dad has an old school, what are those? Not CRVs, that's a Toyota car.
Yeah.
But there's a old timey motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
A little dirt bike.
Honda, you mean?
Yeah, Honda CRX or something. Like, oh, what are they
Ooh.
Called?
It's probably a, hang on.
They're a little bigger than a pocket rocket. They're like mini motorcycles. My dad has one. And in the neighborhood, my parents' neighborhood, him and like 10 guys have these little mini motorcycles.
All right, I'm going to list them off here. Honda Dio.
No.
Honda CBR.
Ooh,
1000RR.
Close.
A Honda X80V.
No.
A Honda CBR 600.
Oh, man.
A Grom CRF 250. You probably need to look at them because I'm just... these names probably mean nothing.
It's a C-something.
There's some dirt bike aficionado listening potentially that's like... Could see the pictures I'm reading.
It's
from,
not
mostly,
a CR1. But. Those things are like dirt bikes. We're looking. These are old school. Okay, I'm going back. We got to go back in the day.
Okay.
We got these things were old.
There's a lot of mopeds, and they are.
They're
awesome.
Not a moped. It's a motorcycle.
Okay. That's some good moped. I mean, there's a
1980s
Navi. Honda Navi. It's pretty cool.
Man.
A lot of cool options here.
I'll find it hopefully in the break. CR250 maybe? They're like a small motorcycle. It doesn't matter, okay? We're going off on a tangent here, okay? Bear with us. Chiefs is slow right now, and the Royals are they're bad.
They stink.
We talked about it yesterday, okay? Can only talk so much negativity on this show.
Yeah, you want Royals, go watch Major League.
You want Royals, go, I don't know, go to London.
Go to the Monarchs game.
There you go. But they have these 60-year-old guys in my dad's neighborhood who drive around these mini motorcycles, and they call it a bike gang, and it's hilarious. Just picture slightly overweight, couple of beers deep, 60-year-old dudes riding around on these little motorcycles. That's what I strive in life to become.
Yeah, there's a lot of options here, and I think that really any of these I would be okay with and think that that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll regroup. We'll start. We had to have a PSA for you guys out there, okay? We're teaching you guys to be smart, to be astute.
Yeah, we're trying to help people.
We're trying to help the people, okay? We're just team players over here. Dylan Michaels, noted team player. Quick break, come back, home stretch, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch, ESPN at Kansas City. Dylan and myself, we're going to play a fun game. You ready for a fun game? And it's actual sports related. We're talking Chiefs right now, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Friday, June 2nd, and we're talking Chiefs? You bet your ass you are. Come on, okay. We're doing a 2020 NFL draft recap from the Chiefs. And what we're doing is extend or no extension? Okay. We're going to look at the Chiefs 2020 draft. This is their final year right on the rookie contract outside of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, although, frankly, it's his last year as well because his fifth-year option was not picked up. So, which of these dudes are we going to extend for the Kansas City Chiefs? All right. Seventh rounder. I think you and I are probably going to both agree here. Thacarius Keyes.
Is he even on the team anymore?
I think that's Bo Pete Keyes, correct?
Yes, and he is not on the team anymore.
Bo Pete Keyes is free agent. It looks like his last stop was actually the Colts.
Yes, I did see that because Ballard is a former Chief.
It makes a lot of sense.
A lot of sense.
Bo Pete Keyes going to say no, although he did play at least in one game. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Did Bo Pete Keyes play some special teams at some point, right?
Yes.
So for a seventh rounder, that kind of a success.
Sure.
So,
compared
all right.
to Jalen Watson and Pacheco.
It's bad, but compared to the majority of the NFL, that's actually a... If you are a seventh rounder and you play a snap in the NFL, I'm calling that a hit. Bo Pete Keyes, it's a hit. I mean, wouldn't you? But seriously, would you say a seventh rounder who plays in an NFL game is considered a hit?
That's tough, and would depend on who he played with. Because if he's a seventh rounder and he plays a couple snaps for the Texans or the 2009, whenever they went 0-16 Lions, I think there's a difference. And also, like, yeah, I guess seventh rounder, you can call it a hit if they play a couple snaps here and there.
But I mean, I'm looking through the 2020 seventh rounders. Marcus Bailey. A lot of these names are about to sound like creative players on Madden.
Right.
Cameron Curl. Come on. Cameron Curl, spelled the K. That's a creative player. Stantley. Yes, not Stanley. Stantley Thomas Oliver. That is 1,000% a creative player. Carter Coughlin. The alliteration alone makes it seem like that. Chris Claybrooks. Arlington Hambright. You're telling me right now Arlington Hambright is not a creative player on Madden. Lechavius Simmons, Sterling Hoffrichter. Hey, we've got a Sterling in there. James Smith Williams. They just decided to come up with the three most common names in America and make it one dude. This is my point. If you play a snap in the NFL as a seventh rounder, you almost have to say it's a hit, right? By the way, Arlington Hambright did play 9 games.
Eno Benjamin
did play. Yeah. I
KJ Hill?
KJ Hill. I left those two guys out because they obviously are still playing. It's not fun if I can't right. use my...
Oh, did you include the Nooch, Ben DiNucci?
I did not. Ben DiNucci, baby.
Cowboys.
I'm looking now. Some of these guys actually played like a snap or two. But
I'm not seeing anyone after the Kadarius Keys that has those.
A snap, yeah.
Most important.
But, again, my point is none of these dudes are stars. The point is seventh rounders.
And yeah, there isn't.
If you can find a guy who's a contributor, good, right? This is my point. Bo Peep Keys played in 13 games is what I'm seeing right here. Good for him. All right, now let's get into it. Michael Dana, fifth round. Michael Dana deserves a contract extension. Michael Dana's not going to get a large contract. I don't see a team on the open market giving him a large deal. If you want to think about it this way, too, look at what Charles Aminihu, right? Look at what his contract was. Now you're tell me right now, if you can keep Mike Dana for relatively similar production, wouldn't you do it? It's going to be cheaper to keep him.
Sure, but that would be, I think that, when is he supposed to be paid? When does he have to be, when is this going to happen? Because, like, I'm trying to weigh if we should be set or happy with the production we're getting from our two first round defensive ends by that time. Where
yeah, but you still need a
sign him. Yeah, I know you need depth. But
by the way, Charles Aminihu, fifth round draft pick too.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, you need depth, but if those guys are absolute studs, and you're gonna have to pay one of them, if not both of them, then there's no reason to sign Dana and just draft your depth at
sure.
that point. But yeah. I would say no in the best case scenario because we would have hopefully good production from the two first rounders we drafted at the same position. And he's a fifth rounder, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Michael Dana was a fifth rounder. I'm trying to actually look up right now and look at his stats. Dude, his stats compared to Charles Aminihu last year are very similar. A little different style of play. Aminihu's bigger, 6'5", 280. Mike
right.
Dana, 6'2", 260. But Mike Dana has been the inside guy on those NASCAR packages. Both had 5 sacks last year. Let me see if I can pull up their PFF numbers really quickly. Their pass rush grade, Aminihu was 75.3. Mike Dana was 67.5. Overall, Mike Dana was 67.4, while Charles was 67.5. Dana was just better against the run. They're both very similar numbers.
Yeah, so
both 5 sacks.
What's your flavor? What do you want basically with those?
Do you want the bigger guy? Do you want Mike Dana? Mike Dana, you know, has the motor. I will say, don't got to worry about Mike Dana off the field. So far, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't mind because Charles is on a 2-year contract. I wouldn't mind an extension for Mike Dana. That's a hard worker. Does everything that's been asked from him. He's been perpetually undersold, undervalued, and all he's done is produce. I'm not saying this is TJ Watt, but you have to have valuable contributors. And if you look at edge rushers and their contracts, Mike Dana isn't going to break the bank. I think you bring that guy back as a rotational piece. He can play inside and out. I don't know why he'd leave because if you're getting a similar contract, no matter where you're going, you might as well stay here in KC. Unless he gets a starter contract somewhere else, which I don't see. I think he stays. I think Mike Dana is a guy. How about this? I bet Mike Dana is the most likely to get a contract extension here. Or should I say stay here? Because Snead will be offered one. If I had to guess one guy from the Kansas City Chiefs 2020 draft who is going to be here next year, I'm going to go Mike Dana.
And here's what I could also see is him playing for a team in Detroit that, similar to us, looks for kind of a cheap defensive end piece to spell Aiden Hutchinson in the next couple of years, because they also have another guy on the other side that they drafted late who's very good at edge rush. And the reason why I bring up the Lions is because Mike Dana went to the University of Michigan, is from Detroit, Michigan as well.
Sure.
So I could, and he kind of seems like a Dan Campbell guy of high motor, always in the play, never takes a play off. I think that, you know, I could see that, and I would actually be happy for him because I feel like Detroit would give him more money than us. Well, I'd love to see him here.
Sure.
So I'd
be
like
very happy
for him
too. We
might get priced out of Dana, as well as Legarius, because that might be why we're drafting a lot of ends right now.
Sure.
And it might be why we're drafting a lot of cornerbacks.
Sure, completely fair. I like what he's brought to the table.
I pulled up an article.
Sure.
And here's your smiling face here with the great Adam Best on FanSided. So
you pulled up, it's me.
It's a revisiting the 2020 NFL draft with Lee Olaz, I'll just butcher that. So Leo.
Huh?
Lee, L-E-I-G-H, Olaz.
Oh, I'm gonna butcher it too.
Yeah, it's tough.
How long ago was that?
It's Polish. 2 years ago.
Wow. So sometimes you do so much podcast and radio, sometimes you forget. And apparently you'll pull up an article and see my smiling mug up there.
Yeah.
Do I look good at least?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Good.
You and Adam.
Good.
Both look fantabulous.
Good, good.
Adam has a great hat on too.
Good.
And I'm just looking, that's why I pulled this up in the first place, was all these draft picks. Yeah, they're...
Okay. Let's get into it, though, still. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, first-round pick, we're going to say no, correct?
No.
We're agreed, no. Lucas Niang, we're going to say no.
Nope.
Question. Niang sat out a year for the COVID year. Does that affect his contract?
I don't think they like the... I just don't think that they like the...
No. But if you can keep him without on the rookie contract, I actually have to look at that now, because
he just seems like he's always a little out of shape when they need him to play starting tackle position. Every year, we seem to get told, okay, he's coming into his own, so I don't think they're going to keep him.
He is under contract for 2024 as well, because he...
But this is second contract, right?
No. Yeah, but he's different because he sat out the COVID year.
Oh.
He's the only one of these guys I'm listed that sat the COVID year. So that was his rookie season, remember? 2020. So his first year wasn't until 21, right? 21, 22, 23, 24. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's actually under contract next year. So, yeah. Well.
Who cares?
He might be. Who cares? What was that bot? Who cares?
That's Mike Francesa.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. All right. So Lucas Niang, but he might be back. He's off the equation here. Willie Gay Jr., before we get to Legarius Niang, that's the big guy we're going to talk about. Willie Gay Jr., does he get a contract extension?
Is that why we signed Drew Tranquil?
I know.
I don't know. I like Willie Gay a lot. Willie Gay is one of my favorite players, and I don't think that he's going to get an extension after Drew Tranquil got signed, because they obviously love Nick Bolton.
Bolton's not going anywhere.
He ain't going nowhere. And he can't, because he was drafted a year or 2 years after?
A year.
Okay. So, yeah. I think they're going to try and keep him on the roster as long as they possibly can without re-signing him.
Drew Tranquil is only 2 years older
than Willie Gay?
Than Willie Gay Jr.
There you go. Then that answers your question right there.
You know, what's interesting was I thought Drew Tranquil was a few years older. Like, I was going to say, 29. He's 27. I'm going to look at his birthday. Let's see if it has his birthday on here to see if he turns August 15th. So he'll be 28, start of the season. I guess not that far off. But still, Drew Tranquil has the pedigree. Drew Tranquil has put more together. He's, frankly, been more versatile. Was it 5.5 sacks last year? Known as a pass coverage linebacker. Willie Gay Jr. is going to be cheaper than Drew Tranquil will be realistically. Who would you rather have? I mean, going forward, because Willie Gay Jr. has perpetually been a potential guy.
I know it's such a non-answer, but I really would like to see this season. Like, yeah. If there is not a noticeable difference of speed and like where you are in every play, I feel like Tranquil. I don't know. We'll see. We'll really kind of see, because Willie Gay seems to be always in the right place. He seems to be able to make up for any mistakes he might make with his speed.
I would disagree. I don't think Willie Gay Jr. is ever in the right spot.
I think that he is. I don't know. I feel like he makes a lot of good plays. I feel like in the backfield, on run downs, on passing, I feel like where his issues might be is just different blitz packaging, different other just – working alongside Nick Bolton maybe is an issue. I don't know what the problem is with him that people see, but I like Willie Gay. Maybe I'm just too much of a rose-colored glasses for him.
I like the potential. Again, the athleticism
right.
is
and I think
unreal.
That's what blinds me is, like, this guy can absolutely fly for a linebacker.
So Willie Gay is 6'1", 240. Drew Tranquil is 6'2", 230. Willie Gay ran a 4.46 40. But Drew Tranquil went a 4.57, which is still pretty damn fast.
And it, really, the three cone, the shuttle, those things also matter for linebackers just as much as the 40 time.
You know who had a better three cone drill and 20-yard shuttle?
Was it Drew Tranquil?
Drew Tranquil.
So there you go. I think that
and 10 more bench press.
So if you
being
don't
10
see
pounds
a
lighter.
Massive difference, you already paid one of them. And I know that it's not, I guess, you know, happy ending and you know, fairy tale where we can't sign everyone. But yeah, if you're gonna give money to this guy this year, it's kind of already telling us that he's not getting this.
I like Willie Gay Jr. a lot.
Yeah.
I really do. But at some point, it has to be put together.
Right.
At some point, it has to stop being. It has to stop being just like, look what he could do. We keep talking about the athleticism, but at some point, there's a reason why they brought in Drew. Right? There's a reason why he's being brought in. I like Willie Gay Jr., but he also has to stay healthy. He's not really played a full season, right? 41 games, off and on. He's got to stay healthy. Let's take a quick break, come back. We'll finish up talking L'Jarius Sneed. Home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch, ESPN Kansas City, going through the 2020 Chiefs NFL draft. Who gets a second extension? We're out on Clyde, out on Lucas, out on Bo Pete Keys, obviously. Michael Dana, I'm in on Willie Gay Jr. I think we were both kind of questioning, especially with the move of Drew Tranquil, so I'm probably going to say out on Willie Gay Jr. as well. That leaves L'Jarius Sneed. L'Jarius Sneed, the fourth rounder, who's outperformed all expectations, turning himself into one of the biggest chess pieces in the NFL, filling in nicely for the almost kind of Tyrann Mathieu-esque, right? A little different, but as far as what they provide, the versatility is through the roof. But with L'Jarius Sneed, my question becomes, what is he going to get? The Chiefs have been developing cornerbacks for so long. Especially this Brett Veach era, they spent a first-rounder on Trent McDuffie. They're perpetually going out and bringing in these rookie cornerbacks back into the draft, and they're finding ways to make them have an impact in games. Joshua Williams, Jalen Watson, hell, Rashad Fenton at one point was a sixth-rounder who was playing in a Super Bowl his rookie year. Are they going to be able to pay a guy who is probably going to be worth up to $13 million? Per season? You look at what Tre'Davious Ward got. Now, Tre'Davious Ward's a little interesting character because Tre'Davious Ward is a straight outside CB, right? He is going to be more of a, do you want to say sure thing? I don't know how to describe Tre'Davious Ward to L'Jarius. And I think L'Jarius is probably more versatile, but outside only CBs typically make more money is how it's going, right?
Yeah, because you go up against the bigger receivers typically.
So Tre'Davious got paid $13.5 a year. What does L'Jarius get? If L'Jarius Sneed is around 13.5 or more, I don't think the Chiefs bring him back. I don't know what my cap is personally, what I would bring him back for. I don't know if you can get more than $15 million, but the Chiefs have shown such an affinity for developing corners. Think of it this way. L'Jarius was a fourth-round cornerback. I know you're going to hit on every single fourth-round defensive back, but they've done a damn good job. It seems like every single late round dude they've almost developed into a viable piece is Chamari Connor. Is that the next Legarius need? I don't think so. Their 40 times are very different. But we'll talk all this and more as the offseason progresses. This was the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. For Dylan Michaels, for myself, we're going to find out if we can beat the dudes at KCSN on Sunday. Golfing, baby. Until Monday, you'll find out. We're out of here.